morning. Oh, come on, you can do better than that. Good morning. It's good to see you today. Glad that you're here. We're excited. This is the culmination of our Easter weekend, and we've already had a great weekend. We had the extravaganza yesterday at Morris Field. Thank you so much to those that volunteered and helped and served, and as you can tell from my face, got sunburned. Some moron went out yesterday without a hat and sunblock. I had to hear 150 times, hey, your face is red. You think I don't feel that? But I appreciate you letting me know that. We had a great day yesterday, and then looking for a great service already. I'm going to tell you this. Y'all want in inside scoop? You want in? After the band, the worship team finished this morning, they came off and they said, I'm going to tell you right now, you can't preach after that. You can't preach. I'm going, I can't preach anyway. That's why we need y'all to be so good. Wasn't that excellent? Yes, it was good. So we're excited that you're here with us today to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And we're excited about that. So I'm beginning a new series today, preaching series on being rescued because of God's mercy. It's going to run 5 weeks. I'll get into that a little bit more here in a second. But let me share a couple of things. The reason we do what we do, like yesterday, our purpose as a church is to reach people right where they are, to love people right where they are, but love them enough not to let them stay right where they are. And that includes us. We want to take people from where they are to where God wants them to be. That is our purpose because we believe it's biblical. We believe it's right. We believe that's our calling. So we're a very mission-minded church. We support over 115 missionaries every month. And we have mission trips scheduled this summer. If you're visiting with us, we got a men's mission trip to go help a youth camp in Mexico. We have a student mission trip. We have a kids mission trip. We got student camps coming up. We got kids camp coming up this summer. So if your kids are not enrolled or already signed up, see one of our other pastors. We'd love for you to have a part in that. So I'm ready to get going, so let's pray. And we'll see what God has for us in the sermon. Father, we come today. And we thank you so much for loving us enough to send your son to this earth. And Jesus, we come and we thank you for the body that was broken and the blood that was shed for our sin. And not that you stayed dead in the grave, but that we can come and we can celebrate that on that third day, you rose from the grave. By your own power, because you are God. So as we come before you and open your word and we see what you have for us, we pray that the Holy Spirit would continue just to meet with us today, that there are needs and there's brokenness and there's healing, there is encouragement that needs to happen today. And we pray that the Holy Spirit would do that in our crowd, in our midst. God, this service is yours. It always has been. And we pray that you'd meet with us, that you would be glorified, and that lives would be changed today. Today. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. On May 25th in 2006, mountain climber Lincoln Hall was on an excursion to reached the summit of Mount Everest. And this had been a dream of Lincoln Hall's for years. And he had prepared and he had planned for this trip and this excursion. And he had a group of people that he was traveling up Mount Everest with. But about 2,000 feet from the summit or the peak of Mount Everest, Lincoln Hall got altitude sickness. His oxygen got low. And he broke away from his group. He got disoriented and he had to be set. He got separated from his group. And his group didn't know it. And as they traveled on up to the peak of Mount Everest, Lincoln Hall got lost. And he found a place and he just sat down and he didn't know what to do. He couldn't think clearly because of the altitude sickness and he couldn't make a decision. And his group reached the peak and they noticed he was gone. They didn't know where he had left or where he had gotten separated. And so on their way back down, they looked for him, but they never saw him. And when they reached that camp that night, they told the emergency personnel, "We don't know what happened." Well, Lincoln Hall is still disoriented and he still doesn't really know what to do. Again, he can't think clearly. And night comes, 2,000 feet from the peak of Mount Everest. And somewhere in the night, his thoughts came back to him and he was able to think more clearly. And Lincoln Hall says this. He says, "I began to wonder if I was going to live or if I was going to die. I did not know." The morning came and at the base camp, the group made the announcement that Lincoln Hall had perished, making his way up to the summit. But Lincoln Hall was still alive. And the next day, there was two groups making their way up to Mount Everest, to the peak. One group went by, and they noticed someone off to the side at some point, but no one went to help. The next group came by, and they saw, again, someone over there needing help. And all of them but one went on to the peak. Daniel Mazur stopped, broke off from his group, and went over to check on Lincoln Hall. He wanted to go see if he needed some help. And when he got over there, he realized that he was in trouble. That if he did not help Lincoln Hall, Lincoln Hall was going to die right where he was. So Daniel gave up his dreams. He gave up his goals. He gave up his agenda. He gave up his Everest glory to help Lincoln Hall. It took him 4 hours to get Lincoln Hall back down to camp. The emergency personnel tended to Lincoln Hall, and they looked at Daniel Mazur and told him, "If you had not helped him, he wouldn't have made it much longer." They also told Daniel that several days before, a man named David Sharp had got separated from his group 1,000 feet from the summit, and because no one stopped to help him, he died up there. This is a true story of rescuing someone who was in dire need. Daniel Mazur gave up his ambitions, gave up his goals, gave up his quest, gave up something that he had trained for years to rescue someone else. He rescued Lincoln Hall when Lincoln Hall could not rescue himself. And folks, I stand here today to tell you this. That is the Easter story. Easter is a time we celebrate the rescuing of humanity by God himself. God left his place in heaven, and he came, and he was born, and he lived in the flesh here on earth. God did that to rescue us from our sin. Jesus came to rescue us because we could not rescue ourselves, just like Lincoln Hall. We are in trouble, and we cannot rescue ourselves from our sin, and God knew that. And that's why Jesus came, and that's what Easter is all about. In Matthew chapter 28, the scripture tells us, "Now after the Sabbath, as the first day of the week began to dawn, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat on it. His countenance was like lightning, and his clothing as white as snow. And the guards shook for fear of him and became like dead men. But the angel answered and said to the women, 'Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He is risen from the dead. And indeed, he is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him. Behold, I have told you.' So they went out quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy and ran to bring his disciples word. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them saying, 'Rejoice.' So they came and held him by his feet and worshiped him. And then Jesus said to them, 'Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brethren to go to Galilee, and there they will see me.'" Jesus has lived a sinless life, And he has gone through what we looked at last week in the six trials. He's gone through the scourging. He's gone through the crown of thorns. He's gone through carrying his own cross up the hill of Golgotha. He's gone to being nailed to a cross and hanging for 6 hours on that for payment to rescue us from our sin. And he goes through that and he eventually looks out and he says, the price has been paid. It is finished. And he gave up the ghost. They took his body down, they wrapped it, they laid it in a borrowed tomb. And 3 days later, do you know what happened? Come on, you know what happened? Jesus Christ rose from the grave. And on that morning when he rose, the Mary Magdalene and another Mary came to the tomb to worship. And an angel's there, and the guards fall asleep. He puts a sleep on them, and he tells them, why seek ye the living, or the dead among the living? Why are you here? He has risen, just like he said he would. Jesus had told the religious leaders and the people, you tear down the temple, I'll raise it again in 3 days. And guess what happened after 3 days? The Son of God raised himself from the dead. Easter is all about the resurrection of Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Son of God, the chosen one rising from the grave. And we celebrate Easter because we celebrate the resurrection. But I have a question. Why is Easter so important? Why is it? What sets it? What makes it different? Well, Easter is different and so important because it shows that Jesus was who he said he was. He was telling the truth. Jesus made some outrageous claims. If you think about it, he made claims that no good man would make. He made claims that no good teacher would make. He made claims that no one else could claim it unless they could back it up. And Jesus said this, I am the Son of God. That's pretty outrageous. You're looking for the Messiah? He's right here with you. That's pretty outrageous. I am God. In human form, that's pretty outrageous. He said, I am the only way to heaven. That's pretty outrageous. And there have been a lot of people throughout history that have claimed to be God. Been a lot of people that claim to be from God or a God. But you know what separates our belief system from everyone else? Is the person that we trust to rescue us from our sin, he rescued himself. He resurrected himself. He showed that he had the power over death, hell, and the grave. That's what he did. When everyone else that claimed to be God, they died and they stayed in the grave. Oh, their soul lived on. But they didn't resurrect themselves from the dead. Only our God did that. That's what separates it. Easter is so important because Jesus is who he claimed to be, the Son of God. And it's through the Son of God that we can experience God's mercy. In order to know that we are going to heaven one day, we must accept Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. That's it. That's being rescued from our sin. Daniel Mazur showed mercy on Lincoln Hall. Daniel Mazur helped Lincoln Hall when he couldn't help himself. And that's what Jesus has done for us. That's what God did for us. Daniel rescued Lincoln. God wants to rescue us. When you truly understand the mercy of God, then there is no other reasonable thing to do than to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. Listen to me. When you truly understand the mercy of God, there is no other reasonable thing to do than to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. What is mercy? Mercy is undeserved forgiveness and unearned kindness. Lincoln Hall did not deserve Daniel Mazur's kindness. He did not deserve for him to go over there and do that. But because of mercy, Daniel did. So I want to answer one question this morning. Just one question. It's Easter, so I want to answer this question. When do I need God's mercy? When? Now, I'm going to expound, just so you know, I'm going to expound on this in the next 4 weeks. We're going to answer this question today. When do I need God's mercy? But in the next 4 weeks, we're going to dig into, if I have received God's mercy, how should that change me? What should I look like now that I've received God's mercy? So I encourage you to come back the next 4 weeks as we'll address that question. But for today, I want to begin this series by answering this question. When do we need God's mercy? And the first thing I'm going to throw out there is this. We need God's mercy when we have sinned. None of us are perfect. And because we're not perfect, we need God's mercy. We've all sinned. We've all made mistakes. We've all done the wrong thing at the wrong time. And because of this, we need God's mercy just poured out on us. Because of who we are. And just in case someone is here, or two or three here, and you're thinking, I just don't know about that sin thing. I don't know that I've really sinned. Well, just so you know what the Bible says in 1 John, it tells us, chapter 1, verse 8, if we say we have no sin, we deceive who? We deceive who? Ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If you're sitting here today thinking, yeah, I don't really know that I've sinned. You're deceiving yourselves. Talk to your wife. Talk to your husband. Talk to your kids. Students. Talk to your parents for sure, right? Talk to your teachers. Oh, my gosh. You are a sinner. I vouch for that. So we need God's mercy when we have sinned. The real question is not, have I sinned? The question is, what do I do because I'm a sinner? See, when we were lost in our sin, God the Father showed us mercy by sending his son to come and provide a way for us to know that we're going to heaven when death comes to us. That is mercy, folks. God the Father did not have to do that. You understand that today? God saw a human race that he created in a perfect world that sinned against him and passed that sin nature down to you and I. And he saw a mess in his creation, a sinful people, and he could have let every one of us die and go to a lake of fire. But he's a merciful God. And there was only one way to save us, to rescue us from our sin, and that was by showing us mercy, undeserved forgiveness, unearned kindness. Jesus did not have to come. But he came because he loves us and because of mercy. God knows this. If we truly understand mercy, again, there's no other choice, reasonable choice that can be made than to accept his son as Savior. There's just not. God's mercy frees us and forgives us. We need God's mercy because we have all sinned against him. And then we need God's mercy when we do not have what we need. Now, what I mean by that is this. I'm not talking about material things. I'm talking about us being an imperfect people, an incomplete people, a broken people. We're broken. We have weaknesses. We have faults. We have failures. We have sinned. And we need God's mercy because we're broken and messed up. We lack something in our lives that makes us whole, complete, and truly fulfilled. And we all struggle with these things. And this is why we need God's mercy. We do not have everything we need until we receive God's mercy. Then we become whole, fulfilled, complete. See, in order to experience the mercy of God, you do not have to understand everything about it. William Rainey said this one time. Why didn't someone ever tell me that I could become a Christian and work out all my doubt afterward? St. Augustine said this, seek not to understand that you may believe, but believe so you can understand. If you're waiting to understand God better, know about him more, or trying to grasp the thought of God's mercy today, then know this. You will never fully grasp God's mercy until you truly experience it. Can't happen. We must admit that we're broken, that God poured out his mercy on us, and we have to receive that mercy in order to become whole again, It's like trying to explain the joy of holding an infant for the first time, your son or daughter. You remember that? I remember some 27 years ago holding our oldest daughter for the first time. And there was a love that I had never experienced before. And I didn't know where it came from, but it was there. It was real. It was genuine. I remember holding my daughter for the first time and thinking, I understand a father's love now. I remember rocking her for the first time at night, just thanking God for this beautiful baby and the blessing. But if you ask me to explain that to someone who's not a parent yet, what do you do? How do you explain that? Parents, you know what I'm saying? How do you fully explain the love of a father or mother for a child? How do you do that? Would you agree? Those of you that have experienced this, you cannot fully grasp the love of a father or a mother until you experience it. Do you agree with that? You cannot fully understand the mercy of God until you experience it. We can talk about it. I can preach on it for 30 minutes. We can throw out some verses. But you will never, ever fully experience the mercy of God until you experience it. It's what Easter's all about. Easter's all about fixing a broken people. It's all about Jesus proving he was the Son of God and is the Son of God. We put our faith in him as Savior that guarantees us a place in heaven. It also begins the work of fixing this mess that we are. God's mercy makes the impossible possible. It's impossible to rescue ourselves from our own sin. It's impossible to rescue ourselves from a place called hell or a lake of fire. That's impossible. But God in his love sent his son to die and be resurrected from the dead because he is a merciful God. We need God's mercy because we've sinned against God. And we need God's mercy because we don't have what we need without it. And then the last thing we need God's mercy for today is this: when we face death. Now, death is not something we sit around the coffee shop and talk about, is it? Death is not something you go home and fix lunch and say, let's have a good long conversation about death. We don't do that, do we? We avoid that conversation. We kind of push it off. We don't really want to go there. But understand today, only a fool will go all the way through life unprepared for something that is inevitably going to happen. That doesn't make sense. Death is universal. Death is certain for every one of us. You may be late to every other appointment in your life, but guess what appointment you will keep? Death. And last time I checked, there's still a mortality rate of 100%. Except for Jesus. We are all going to die at some point in life. We don't know when, but we know it's going to happen. Why would we put off making a decision about it? Why would we push that off? Why wouldn't we talk about it? Because we're uncomfortable. It makes us uncomfortable. I get that. But understand today, we need God's mercy when we face death. Because if we have not experienced God's mercy through faith in Christ, the Savior, when death comes, we're in trouble for eternity. When you understand God's mercy and have been rescued from your sin by accepting Christ as Savior, you no longer have to fear death. You know, the Bible tells us in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now, that's not that hard for me to understand. I'm not that smart. All have sinned. You, I, everyone who's walked on this planet has what? Sinned. Every one of us. And fallen short of the glory of God. Understand this today. You can't live good enough to earn your way to heaven. You can't be better than the person next to you or that neighbor across the street or that coworker. You can't live a good enough life better than them to earn your way to heaven. You can't attend a church service enough to earn your way to heaven. You can't even, you ready? Pray your way into heaven. Please understand that one sin separates us from God. God said, no sin shall enter heaven. Oh, wait a minute. I've sinned. What's that mean? No heaven. The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But then it goes on to tell us in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is what? That's spiritual death, not physical. The context of Romans 6 there is talking spiritual. That's spiritual death. For the wages, the sin, the cost, the payment for sin is death. Eternally separated from God. For the wages of sin is death. But the good news is what? But the gift of God is through Christ Jesus our Lord, or Jesus Christ our Lord. Right there is God's mercy, folks. The cost of our sin is eternity in a lake of fire or hell. But the gift of God, the mercy of God, the love of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ, or Christ Jesus our Lord. God's mercy is Easter. It would not be possible if Jesus had not resurrected from the dead. But you know, the Bible goes on to tell us in Romans 5:8 that God demonstrates his own love toward us. Demonstrates it, shows it to us. And that while we were yet sinners, what happened? Christ died for us. We're sinners. We got a sin problem. Sin separates us from God. I'm in trouble in eternity. But God in his mercy sent his son to die for our sins and be resurrected to prove his power over death, hell, and the grave. That I can be assured that if I place my faith and trust in Jesus as Savior, he will do the same for me when death comes. You can know about Jesus and miss heaven. You can read all the books this world has to offer and miss heaven. You can live a really good life and miss heaven. So what do we do? The Word of God tells us in Romans 10:9, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you'll be what? Everybody say that word. You'll be what? Saved from what? Saved from our sin. Saved from our sin. And what's it take? Belief and faith in Jesus Christ. Not only that he died for us, but that he rose again for us. That's what it takes. To be saved, to know that we're going to heaven, to not be afraid of death anymore, is to do what the Word of God says. God poured out his mercy on us in the form of Jesus, and Easter is all about the resurrection of Jesus to save us from our sins. God wants to rescue us today. He wants to rescue us in our life. He wants to rescue us from our sin. He wants to rescue us by putting our faith and trust in Jesus Christ as Savior. When I was a junior in high school here at Artesia, I remember laying in bed at night wondering what's going to happen when I die. Not much different than Lincoln Hall. I used to lay in bed and wonder what's going to happen when I die. And I did not know who to turn to. I did not know who to ask. I did not know who to go to. My parents loved us, but there was not a spiritual teaching in our home. I didn't know, and I would lay in bed night after night after night wondering what's going to happen when I die. And God put some people in my life from Faith Baptist Church that loved me enough to look at me and say this, Robbie, you're a sinner. Now, I had no problem with that. I knew I was. But they didn't stop there. They loved me enough to tell me the truth. That if I wanted assurance and I wanted to know that I was going to heaven one day, it was all about Jesus. It was about faith in Jesus. That Jesus had come and died for my sin so I wouldn't have to pay the penalty when death came. He had already paid it. If I'd accept him as my Savior, I could know I was going to heaven. I was all ears. And I'm going to tell you something, folks. I didn't get mad and I didn't get upset. I wanted to know. It didn't offend me. That evening, I bowed my heart before God, admitted I was a sinner, acknowledged Jesus Christ as the Son of God, and asked him to save me from my sin. And you know what he did? He saved Robbie Ballou from his sin. Oh, I still mess up, but my sins are forgiven. They're covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. And I've never, ever, ever regretted that day. There's never been a day since then that I've said, you know, I really wish I hadn't done that. No, because I truly experienced God's mercy and salvation. I truly experienced God's mercy after that and making me feel fulfilled and complete and whole. And I truly, truly experienced God's mercy for the first time in my life. And I'm going to tell you right now, I wouldn't trade it for anything. Nothing. You couldn't buy that from me. The Bible says once we're rescued from our sin through faith in Christ, 1 John 5:13 says, these things have I written to you who believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. Now, I want you to notice a word there. It doesn't say that you may hope. It doesn't say that you may, you know, dream about it. It says what? That you may know. How do we know? Because we've accepted Christ as our Savior. We've experienced that mercy of God that we've never experienced before. And you just know. It's like holding that infant for the first time. You just know you love that child. And when you experience God's forgiveness, his mercy, you know that when death comes, you're going to be ushered into the presence of God through faith in Christ because you just know. You can't buy it. You can't earn it. It's a free gift. We all need to be rescued. And God knew this, and that's what Easter is all about. It's all about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now let me tell you this. We as a church, we love you. We care about you. We care enough to tell you the truth. It would have been easy to get up here and preach a fluff message, right? It would have been easy to get up here and make everybody feel good. But this is what God put on our heart. And we love you enough to tell you the truth. Because we need God's mercy when death comes. We need God's mercy and salvation. We care enough to see that if you've never accepted Christ as your Savior, you're in trouble. You're on the side of Mount Everest. And you can't help yourself. You need to be rescued. We love you enough to tell you Jesus will do that for you. Not through us, but Jesus. Have you been rescued from your sin by faith alone in Christ? Have you received God's mercy by accepting Christ as your Savior? Have you trusted in Jesus to save you and not in a church name and not in riches or not in good behavior or not even in praying a simple prayer? But by faith, you've believed with everything inside of you. This could be the greatest Easter of your life if you've never done that and you do that today.